racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
1 week in April, azaleas blooming, an American treasure, the ride of spring.
Just unreal, to be honest with you. It's you know, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years.
Time of the Masters, 1 week in April.
Wow. 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 I don't know any other word that it'd be apropos in that situation. There have been no two bigger supporters of Tiger than you and I over the years. But I don't know if the truth be known, if push came to shove, would we have, you know, made a huge bet that Tiger was going to win another major? We felt that way, but who knows if, you know, if we really could have executed that faith. Your thoughts, Jay Randolph Jr.?
Well, what he did was executed. We wanted to believe it. We wanted to see it. We know what impact it's going to have on the game. And he got the opening and took advantage of it. And he played all week with a confidence, not necessarily with a swagger or a fist pump, but a confidence and a game plan that he stuck to. And when the moment was right, he was able to take advantage of it and win his fifth green jacket and create one of the most special days in the history of the game.
Well, you can tell I'm excited. I left out the opening to our show, and we may have some listeners for the first time following that Tiger victory. I am Bob Bupker, and I'm here with Jay Randolph Jr. He's better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. You're in the grill room now with Bob and Jay, and the three numbers that I've come up with, Jay, 15, 14, 13. 15 being the number of majors won by Tiger Woods now. 14 years between his last green jacket, 05 to 2019. And he finished at 13 under par. Let's hear what Tiger had to say right after his incredible victory.
Just unreal, to be honest with you. It's, you know, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. coming here in 95 for the first time and being able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later, be able to do it again. And this is the way it all transpired today. There were so many different scenarios that could have transpired on that back nine. There were so many guys who had a chance to win. Leaderboard was absolutely packed and everyone was playing well. So you couldn't have had more drama than what we all had out there. And yeah, just to come back here and then to play as well as I did and did all the things, all the little things well this week, and to do it here. This has meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget.
Apparently somebody put a little kryptonite in Superman's water there, Tiger crying at a press conference, certainly a rare sight.
Well, again, as you and I know, this is not the same Tiger Woods that we fell in love with. This is a Tiger Woods that's been humbled. He's been humbled personally, no doubt about it. I think that may be as big a part of the comeback as the physical side. And we'll get into that. But, I mean, you know, to be as high as he once was and to go as low as he got and to be able what he did on Sunday with the best players in the world playing well, granted one of them made a mistake, but when that mistake came, Tiger took advantage of it. You know, I've heard a lot of people at the course say, well, Koepka could have made that putt. I mean, well, yeah, if a lot of things could have happened. But he didn't, and Tiger did what he had to do to win the golf tournament. And it makes you start to think, Bob, with the venues coming up. This wasn't a Jack in 86 type win. To me, this is, I've still got a chance to catch the man. And it's going to be interesting with the next two major championship venues, places he's won, Bethpage and Pebble.
Let me throw a little water on this fire that broke out right after Tiger notched number 15 as far as catching Jack Nicklaus. The way I'm looking at it is first and second place finishes in majors. Jack Nicklaus, 37. Tiger Woods now, 21. I mean, that's a huge, huge gap between those two. And that's not taking anything away from Tiger. That's just giving a little more due to Mr. Nicklaus.
Well, Bob, as I said, you know, is this a comeback or is this just an 86 for Jack? I think maybe it's more of a comeback. What does Tiger think this comeback means to him?
Well, you know, I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple of years ago. I mean, I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything. Luckily, I had the procedure on my back, which gave me a chance at, you know, having a normal life. But then all of a sudden, I realized I could actually swing a golf club again. And I felt if I could somehow piece this together, that I still had the hands to do it. The body's not the same as it was, you know, a long time ago, but I still have good hands. And so that certainly has helped, and I've pieced it together. And next thing you know, if you look at it, my first 14 wins in majors were always, I had the lead in every one of them, or tied for the lead. To have the opportunity to come back like this, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had for sure because of it.
Hey, Jay, I wonder how many of our great Grill Room listeners had a little chuckle when Tiger said, you know, able to lead a normal life. Yeah, with a 197-foot yacht, your own plane, hundreds of million dollars in the bank. Yeah, that's kind of normal. I don't think so. But I don't think Tiger's life has been normal since he was 3 years old and on the Ed Sullivan Show and made a putt that people are still talking about. You know, it's been said many times, Mr. Randolph, and we think first by the legendary Dan Jenkins. The Masters begins on the back nine on Sunday. It certainly did in this case. Here's what Tiger had to say about last Sunday's back nine scenario.
I was grinding hard trying to chase Francesco today, and then all of a sudden the leaderboard flipped and there were a bunch of guys up there who had a chance to win, and I hit some of the best shots on that back nine today. You know, I felt like I just flushed it coming home, which was, that's a nice feeling.
You know, Tiger mentioned that he flushed it on that back nine. I'm sure in your heyday, Jay, when you were playing some magnificent golf, there are just days when the ball just meets the club in that special spot time and time again.
Yeah, it is. It's a unique thing that can happen. It happens to those guys a lot more than the rest of us. But you know, he didn't have to do anything dramatic. Again, you look at the play by Molinari on 12; it changed the golf tournament. Then Tiger knocked it on the green, far left portion of the green. I thought he was going to three putt, to be honest with you. He left it about 6 feet short, but made it, makes his par, the two shot swing, and then he did exactly what he had to do. He birdied the par fives, and then it put him in position to hit the shot on 16 that capped the whole thing, that put the icing on the cake and the drive on 17. So again, he didn't have to play brilliant. He had to follow the plan. And that's exactly what he did, and that's why he got his fifth green jacket.
like any good actor, given a great script, if you follow it, it comes off fine. It certainly did for Tiger. Interested in what Brooks Koepka had to say about the back nine at Augusta. Brooks knows a thing about winning major championships. Jay, obviously, back-to-back U.S. Open champion, PGA champion last year. Here's his thoughts.
It was probably the coolest back nine in a major championship I've ever been a part of, or just in golf in general. I think with so many guys going up and down, you know, the leads kind of changing hands depending on what hole you're on. It was amazing to be a part of. It was quite fun. And I mean, I watch the leaderboard all the time just to see where guys are at, see what they're doing. And, you know, what he did coming down the stretch was impressive. And I mean, we already knew Tiger was back, but I think he just put the exclamation point on that.
You know, Jay, it sounds like, I mean, listening to Brooks Koepka, if he had a portable TV in his golf bag, he'd have turned it on and would be watching Tiger.
Well, I think a lot of the guys would have. I mean, you know, you can't fault Koepka. He played a solid round. I believe it was 68. That's pretty good on the final day of a major. We know what he's done in majors. A lot of people will remember the miss on the 72nd hole that would have made it much more of an interesting final hole for Tiger Woods. But, you know, once again, Brooks Koepka at a major it was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems to have the formula dialed in, how to execute when it's, you know, the most on the line.
Yep.
But for those that were fortunate enough to be there in 86, we were introduced for the first time roars like you never heard at Augusta National as Jack made his march to that 72nd hole. Well, those roars were back this past Sunday. We asked Brooks Koepka again about the roar. Here's what he told us.
You know, anytime he does something good, you know, the fans are going to get excited and they're going to be loud, and you know, that's the following that he's created, and it's cool to see. If you take a step back while you're playing, and it's fun. I mean, you watch him walk down after he won on 18 there. I mean, it's just a monsoon of people. It's incredible.
Monsoon of people, monsoon of fans, not only at Augusta National, Jay, but literally around the world. I mean, our radio company, World Golf Radio, we got calls from New Zealand, Australia. I mean, everybody wanted a little tidbit about Tiger's accomplishments, winning his 15th major. I mean, that's really the impact he has on the game. I know we're going to talk a little bit more later, but I want to bring this up right now, Jay. I mean, you're in a unique position. You're at, you know, Normandy Golf Club, one of the great public golf courses in St. Louis. I know it's only been a couple of days. What was the reaction by the general public, Jay?
I mean, I think just like you and I, loving it, loving getting to see it, embracing it, even to a certain extent, the folks that you and I know of as Tiger haters. I mean, this is a different, like I said, it's a different Tiger. I mean, let's be honest, Bob. If he would have beat Y.E. Yang in 2009, there'd have been no players waiting for him to shake his hand. I mean, he's gotten to know these young kids. Justin Thomas was part of the group that was near the green. That's where the really close folks are, your tight group. And then Ricky was there, and Bernhard Langer, and on and on and on. I mean, that wouldn't have happened in 2009. This is a different guy, and you know, when you get knocked off your pedestal in the way in which he did, you know, it's not easy, and I think he's opened himself up a little bit. I mean, you and I have talked about it. Walking to the tee, he never would have fist-pumped anybody or fist-bumped anybody. I mean, so this is a different guy right now.
You know, Jay, and I want your reaction. I wonder, in a small way, some inspiration wasn't delivered by Bernhard Langer to Tiger Woods. Tiger was 43. There was a lot of talk about being 43 years old. All he had to do was see who's making the cut and playing pretty solid golf. Bernhard Langer, 18 years older than Tiger. I got to believe a little inspiration went his way from Bernhard.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think he can look at a Bernhard Langer. He can look at Jack in 86. He can look at Watson at the British Open. There's no question he knows if he can stay healthy. And that's the number one thing. I mean, all this without the health is not going to happen. I mean, that the last surgery that he had that worked, that allowed him to do this, is the key. If that can hold on, I mean, he can compete for 5 to 8 more years, no question.
Yeah, it's been a few hours since that final putt, but it's hard to come to grips with the magnitude of it. I mean, when I opened up the paper on Monday morning, New York Post, and on the front page is a picture of Tiger yesterday getting word from President Trump that he's going to be awarded the Medal of Freedom, you know, to Tiger Woods. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I think good time, though, right now, Jay. Why don't we take a look at that final leaderboard? Because a lot of interesting little tidbits on that board. We talked a little bit about Koepka finishing just one shot back. Didn't know until after the event about DJ and what happened with his driver.
Yeah, he cracked the face of his driver during Friday's round. And sometimes, you know, you get real accustomed to that driver feel that you've got. But he put a new driver in. I'm sure they were working on it hard to get it ready for him for round three. And he finished at 12 under. Xander Schauffele's won everything but a major. He's at 12 under, one back. Then you got Jason Day at 11 under par, a major championship winner. And then the hottest player in one of the two or three hottest players in the world since last year's British Open, the guy that won the Open Championship that made the mistake on 12, Francesco Molinari. I mean, look at the cats, and we go a little deeper. Before we go a little deeper, let's hear from Molinari. Obviously, the mistake on 12 changed his Masters. Here's Molinari talking about the 12th and playing with Tiger Woods.
Just a bad execution. I think we picked the right shot and just didn't hit it hard enough. As simple as that. And you know, it was tough today with the wind gusting, and I managed to scramble well on the front nine. And I think I just had a couple of mental lapses on the back nine that were costly. But you know, it is what it is. It's great to see obviously Tiger doing well, but you know, the way he was playing last year, I think we all knew it was coming sooner or later, so maybe next time would have been better for me, but it was nice to be out with him. He played well, hit the right shots at the right time, and deserved to win.
Really a nice guy, Francesco Molinari, and very classy, and certainly adds a lot to our sport. I'm proud to have him as one of the top players. I mean, one of the storylines, or a couple of storylines, actually, that were being bantered about on Sunday, Molinari looking to become the first ever person that caddied at the Masters. Did that back in 06 for his brother, who had won the United States Amateur, to go on and win a green jacket. That didn't happen. And a lot of past champions were speculating on what a feast they were going to have next year at the champions' dinner with Molinari, you know, bringing up the menu. I mean, it's legendary. He loves to cook. And that would be quite a meal. Hey, let's look a little further down the leaderboard. And what do we come up with right away? John Rahm, to me, he's certainly destined to become the fourth Spaniard to win the Masters. We got Seve Ballesteros. We got certainly Sergio Garcia and Jose Maria Olazabal, the other three. I cannot see, as you affectionately refer to him as Rombo, I can't see John Rahm not winning one over the next 5 to 10 years.
It would next year if Mr. Woods was putting it on John Rahm. That's the other side of this story that, you know, we've been talking about it leading up to it, Bob, and virtually all the guys other than Rory that we've been talking about played really well. Ricky Fowler at 10 under par. Patrick Cantlay with the unbelievable weekend, just going, you know, going bananas, 64, then 68. Bubba Watson, who obviously one of those horses for courses. Justin Thomas, who continues to get better at Augusta. Ian Poulter, who loves that action. You know, that's the other side of it. This was not chump change, and I'm not taking anything away from Chris DeMarco or Y.E. Yang or my man Bob May. But, I mean, these are the guys we've been seeing the last couple of years, Bob, that Tiger beat.
Well, not everybody left Magnolia Lane with the smile that Tiger had on his face when he finally got to depart the premises with his mom and his girlfriend and his two children. Certainly not smiling was Rory McIlroy, but he sums it up this way.
I don't know. I mean, my game's still there. I mean, I hit a few loose shots and cost myself a few too many, you know, bogeys. And that was really it. I mean, I think I played, I was just counting on the nine there. I think I played the par fives and 11 under for the week. You know, I must have played the par threes and about even or even a bit under par. So it was really the par fours, and that's just putting myself out of position off the tee. And then once you get yourself out of position, it's very hard to put yourself back in position. You know, you miss greens trying to get it up and down. You put pressure on yourself. So, you know, my driving accuracy wasn't quite as good this week as it has been the last few weeks. And that was probably the main reason why I didn't contend this week.
He certainly seemed optimistic with his analyzation of his performance. And he's really spot on. The par fours, what did him in?
You know, he was my horse last week, and he just got off to a real slow start. And then when you do that, as he said, you kind of start to try and take advantage. And that, you know, when you do that, you may hit a couple of shots to put you in a position where you make a bogey where you're not supposed to, or a double bogey where you're really not supposed to. You know, all in all, a decent play. I don't think it changes anything with Rory. I think he's still on track to win a major championship this year. You've still got the people that'll say, well, he still hadn't been able to get it done. Well, what was the Players' Championship? I don't know. So I'm not too worried about Rory. Yeah, I had him on my DraftKings team, and I at least cashed in the million makers, so that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, perplexing week in some aspects, but really the performance of Jordan Spieth leading up to the Masters, you wouldn't anticipate anything much better than a tie for 21st. He may have played up to the level that he's been playing all year, but forget what I have to say about Jordan Spieth. Here's his take on what happened at the Masters.
Really, I mean, the first round was just a big bummer, that first nine, just getting started. If it weren't for that nine holes, you know, I probably have a chance to win today. So I'm proud of kind of the progress I made, sticking to kind of the process. And I felt like I got to a position today that's felt better than it's been tee to green and even on the greens in quite a while. So I'm just going to stick with it and hopefully get off to a little better start next week, keep the consistency and have a chance to win.
You know that comment about if it were not for that nine holes.
Right.
I remember back a long time ago, I was about to enter an amateur tournament that had a, you know, fairly steep entry fee. And I was talking with my buddy about it. It was a 36-hole event, and he was hemming and hawing about putting up that kind of money. And then he finally said to me, do you think there's any chance we can put up the money after we play 18 holes? That's almost what it sounded like with Jordan Spieth. Well, one for that nine holes. You know, come on, Jordan. You know, man up, take it on the chin, and, you know, let's see where it goes. You know, Jordan Spieth, in his heyday, winning those majors, there was no Tiger Woods to contend with. Now there is a Tiger Woods.
Yeah, you use the word perplexing, and I think that's fitting. You hear things that he's trying to make himself believe he's on the right track. I think you were dead on. He played and finished about what he's been doing. And that's not what we've seen from him before. And I'm going to continue to watch and see if he's able to get himself back to a winning level or close to a winning level. We also had two hole-in-ones Sunday, Bob. Bryson DeChambeau, he figured it all out and got it all geometrically where he wanted, and he drained one, and so did Justin Thomas. Little extra crystal given out at Augusta on Sunday with the aces.
Yeah, and I was surprised to find out that's the very first hole-in-one by Bryson DeChambeau at any level. Even playing with his friends, he's never had a hole-in-one. I've been blessed to have three. Give me the Jay Randolph tally.
I've had one at the Floridian down in Florida. I'll never forget it. I mean, if they would have said, that's Bryson DeChambeau's 26th hole-in-one, that wouldn't have fazed me. But when they said, that's Bryson DeChambeau's first hole-in-one, I was like, no way. But you know what? That's golf, isn't it, Bob?
Well, I know one thing. I'm never going to have a hole-in-one at the Floridian because I can't afford the entry fee to tee it up there. But, boy, that's a great place to have one, Mr. Randolph.
No question. Well, we'll be back with more of our Masters wrap-up on the historic this historic Masters. You can tell Bob and I are fired up. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay as we wrap up a historic Masters tournament. Tiger Woods, his 15th major, his fifth green jacket. And, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the impact here on In the Grill Room about Tiger's win to the business side. And I'll speak first about, you know, what it could potentially mean to, like, a golf course where I work, Normandy. I think it got a lot of people fired up. We had a lot of people yesterday during their lunch break that came over and putt and chipped, which, you know, we see once in a while. And people are talking about it in the golf shop and that type of thing when they come in to check out, check in for their round. You know, my hope was a bunch of people between the ages of 13 and 25 were watching on Sunday, and a bunch of them went out to Dick's Sporting Goods or wherever and bought a set of clubs and went to a range or called a instructor. I don't know that that's going to necessarily be the impact of this win. And I think it fires up the golfers to get out and play golf. I don't know that it necessarily makes the non-golfer want to play. I will tell you that the non-golfer was watching. There were a lot of people that have never swung a golf club probably that were watching. Bob, at one during the broadcast from 9 to 2:30 Eastern, 21% of all televisions were on in the U.S. to the Masters. Now, that's a staggering number, 21% when you consider now all the channels, not back in the day when Bob and I grew up, you had five or six. I mean, you know, it's certainly a huge impact for the business side of golf, but I don't know that it's going to have the impact that we need to grow the game.
Well, just to even put it in a better perspective, you know, when you grew up, you may have had five or six. When I grew up, I had two, and I lived on Long Island, and the two TV stations I had were in Connecticut. I never even saw a New York TV station. And I'll even take it one step further. I remember my dad coming home and say to my brother and my sister, hey, guys, we're going to be the first ones to have a color TV set. And he reached in this paper bag, took out this multicolored piece of plastic, scotch taped it to the front of our black and white set, turned it on and said, here you go, guys, we got color TV. But getting back to the business impact, and I can only do it from our company. You know, we sure. offer our services to a lot of different outlets.
Yep.
The phone doesn't ring unless it's Tiger Woods. And it started to ring just moments after that final putt. I mean, it felt like a carpenter and a hurricane had just come through, and everybody wanted to rebuild. And, you know, and I'm talking about all over the globe. I mean, Australia, sure. New Zealand, all over Europe. I didn't even get to go to bed Sunday night, to be perfectly honest with you. The requests kept coming in. I was excited about what Tiger did. A lot of people were excited. But I think the message on how is a Tiger victory different than anybody else winning, I think that message came to me from Boston. And it came from Fenway Park, where
yeah.
the center field scoreboard, after Tiger made his final putt, the scoreboard flashed up just these words, Tiger Woods wins 2019 Masters. I mean, God, you've been around sports. Your dad's been around sports. I mean, for something like that to happen, it doesn't even sound real, Jay.
Yeah, it's that old time stopping still to a certain extent. Where were you when Tiger won the Masters in 2019? It's a historic moment. And you know, Bob, you were there in 1996. When he won his third United States Amateur. I mean, you've been tracking this guy since he was a kid. I've been a fan of his since I was a kid. And you said it earlier in the show, even two of his most stalwart fans, no question about it, didn't really know that this could happen. And that's what makes it so special. And, you know, the other side of it, which we're going to talk about in our final segment, is what does it mean? I mean, like I said, this is not, I don't think this is 86 and Jack's last hurrah. I think this is, okay, I've won a major. We know what the goal is. Can I possibly get there?
Yeah, Jay, and you know, your words are making me think, which is always a good thing, sometimes rather dangerous in my case. But I just realized the different element right now of Tiger winning number 15. Everybody's now focused on whether it's going to get to 18 to tie Jack, 19 to beat Jack. What we have with this victory is a little bit of concern in the fact that we know how fragile physically
yeah.
he really is. So as we watch this victory, there's a little portion of everybody that has to be saying to themselves, if they're realistic, am I watching the last major that Tiger ever wins, or are there going to be more? I mean, there has to be an element of doubt when a back is involved with a golfer because one swing and, you know, he can't play the game anymore.
The verdict is certainly in. Good for the business side of the game. Good for Bob. Good for me at Normandy. Good for the Bridgestone reps across the country. How big an impact will it have? We'll have to wait and see. When we come back, we'll talk about what's ahead. Not only the Heritage next week, but we start that new trend where we've got a major every month and the PGA is not far away. We'll talk about it when we return to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on the KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, The Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Don't forget you can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek, Bob at Bob Bubka VOG, and rightly that VOG stands for the voice of golf. Bob, this week the Heritage, some guys will play after the Masters. I believe Jordan Spieth is playing. It's always a great tournament down there. Those small greens, always a good event after the week after the Masters.
Yeah, and it's a way of, coming back down. I mean, the Masters is at warp speed. And the Heritage is with the horse and buggy. A great event, great people, great fans, great golf course. Speaking of great, Jay, all of a sudden, the magnitude of the upcoming PGA Championship, which has been moved from August to May, pretty much everybody knows that by now. They know that it's going to be at Bethpage Black, one of the finest public golf courses in America. You mentioned Bethpage Black. You mentioned Normandy. There are a few others, that fit into that category. Pebble Beach, a public golf course also. But reports already in, no tickets available for Saturday's round at the PGA Championship. The anticipation of Tiger showing up there after this Masters victory, I mean, people are starting to salivate.
You know better than anybody that when a major championship is held in the New York area, it's heightened already. So you add this with Tiger and the fact that Tiger has won a major championship at Bethpage Black. And again, the scenarios of the best players in the world playing well. And it just sets up what we've been talking about since the Tour Championship last year. This, Augusta, then Bethpage, then Pebble Beach for the United States Open, where, in my opinion, in 2000, Tiger basically beat the game. I mean, he destroyed the field. He won by 15 shots. He beat golf that week. So, there's nothing wrong with salivating, Bob.
And you know what's amazing? As excited as the people in and around Augusta and the people that came literally from all over the world to be part of this 83rd edition of the Masters. They certainly left not disappointed in the slightest. I mean, they basically saw history being made with the performance of Tiger Woods. Now we're going to cap this season of majors by going to Port Rush, where the Open hasn't been since 1952, where the tickets have been sold out since last fall. Matter of fact, they just made an announcement that they were going to add 3,500 more tickets available. They got sold out almost instantly. It's almost like I'm not going to sleep until sometime in mid-July.
No, it's like a golfer's Disney World. I mean, it's setting up. Well, not only is it setting up, it started with what happened at Augusta. I mean, the scenarios that are out there, we know how much Tiger likes history. There's a whole lot of things that can happen. And The good part about it is each week I get to talk to you about it, my man.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Jay. You've been part of that Tiger story. I've been part of that Tiger story. I think we'll end this show on the Grill Room. Thank you, Mr. TW. You did a lot for the game last week.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.